Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Many parents are complaining that their children are too cold in the classrooms. And with the weather set to get colder, of course, in the coming months, January, February normally are coldest months, numerous TDs have raised concerns about the well-being of children in cold classes. Now, Paul Murphy TD called out the schools already and said nobody should have to work or study in 6.4 degrees, which, by the way, if you've seen some of the pictures online of some of the carbon fibre or filters, I should say these carbon meters they have in the classrooms, you will see that sometimes the classrooms are at 6 or 7 degrees. Health safety guidelines say, for example, he says, according to Paul Murphy as well, 17.5 degrees is the minimum for an office environment. The Department of Education say below 16 degrees the school should be closed. But still the government refused to provide the HEPA filters and proper masks are all as far as he's concerned. And also the schools are still open. Now many parents have contacted us to say that their children are being subjected to schools with open windows. This was not an issue in the warmer months, of course, but as the temperature gets lower, it's become a huge problem. And a huge issue for children. Some parents are saying their children are physically unwell after coming home from school, that they can't concentrate, or even suggesting that some schools won't allow them to wear their coats in the class as it's not part of the uniform. One child described that online, described their mother, described the child, said he couldn't even hold a pen, his hand was that cold. And the Department of Education, by the way, is saying that windows should be open when the children are not there, but when they are there, they should be only partially open or closed depending on the temperature of the classroom. And the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, said, and I quote, "Windows in classrooms do not need to be open for the entire day in school. Schools reopened today," she said, this was the other day when she was talking about the schools reopening, "following the Christmas holidays, after the government was given public health advice that it was safe to do so." She also said clear guidance was given to the schools around ventilation, which recommends windows be open before class and at the end of class. But during class, if it's too cold, close the windows. And I put a tweet up for that over the weekend. Close the windows. I mean, this is the rule, that 17.5 degrees is the minimum working temperature in office and 16 degrees for a school or the students should be sent home. And one Dublin school did send students home due to the cold classrooms as a result of keeping the windows open. And a text from the school informed parents it would close at lunchtime on Friday and apologise for the late notice. Children are reportedly sitting in freezing cold classrooms nationwide as windows are being kept open in the schools for ventilation purposes against COVID-19. And teachers and schools have been sharing pictures online of their carbon dioxide meters registering temperatures from 13 and dropping to as low as 7 in some schools, which is ridiculous. I know, for example, we have air conditioning here in the building and I always set the air conditioning for this studio at 21. You might think that's a bit unhealthy, but I always set it at 21. Some of the presenters will set it at 19. I'm not going to tell you which ones. They like it a little bit cooler. And if I come in after them, I'm freezing. I can't even think properly. So I have to turn it back up again. And I know it's only 2 degrees. So I couldn't imagine what it would be like to be operating at 7 degrees and trying to concentrate. It couldn't be right. It couldn't be good for them. And it could, I mean, realistically, we're all well aware of COVID-19 and particularly the Omicron variant. I mean, it's not dangerous to children. We get that. The children are not dropping dead from COVID-19 all the time. Children at very most get very mild symptoms, generally speaking. And we know that. But I can guarantee you, children will be unwell from very cold temperatures in classrooms. And it couldn't be good for the teachers either. I'm sure they're not happy about it. And one teacher did go online over the weekend and put a tweet up saying she had to do jumping jacks with the children to kind of heat them up a little bit. And she said it was unfair on the children to have to be in a classroom so cold. And I replied to her and said, well, then close the window. If you're that concerned about it. Now, teachers, as I said, have been sharing pictures, and one father said he sent his son to school today wearing 2 jackets as it's too cold in the classroom. And as I said, Paul Murphy also said it's scandalous that students are expected to learn in freezing classrooms that are colder than a minimum acceptable temperature of 16 degrees. So I want to know what your experience have been. What has your experience been over the last 4 or 5 days since children went back to school? Has the classroom been too cold? Has it been warm enough? Have they been complaining about the cold? Do the schools let them wear, you know, their jackets over the uniform? Because we're getting reports that schools won't let them wear them. They're saying it's not part of your uniform. You can't wear your long sleeve jumper or whatever it is, your gabardine or whatever they call it nowadays. Or you can't wear your jacket. Let me know what you think and let me know the experience you've had. And the number is 087-188-0008. And what is the solution to this? Because unfortunately, they're not going to get these filters they require for every single classroom that quickly. Some of them have to be retrofitted as well. The number is 087-188-0008. Gillian, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Gillian?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Now, you've got four children, ranging from 5 to 12.
Yeah.
You've got your hands full, haven't you?
I'm busy, yeah.
Busy mum. So what has been your experience so far?
We've had very different experiences, actually. I think because my kids actually go to three different schools.
Okay.
And I've seen different experiences. The secondary, I think, for me, has been the worst from the start, because the secondary school, my son actually has severe asthma. And being honest, look, I won't go into, like, he has medical exemptions, but at the same time, he still wears a mask because of peer pressure.
Okay.
And he's, like, he has been hospitalised, and he cannot be near drafts or cold air because he automatically gets very wheezy.
Okay, so that compounds his issues, his problem, of course. Yeah,
it does, yeah. And before Christmas, I'll start with, like, that was the worst experience. He was extremely wheezy. I actually was at South Dock with him. He had to go on oxygen because he was severely caught up and his chest. I thought we would be bringing him into hospital, but South Dock put him on the oxygen that night. And being honest, all Christmas, he was wheezy from the cold conditions he experienced through school.
And so when you're saying, and did you speak to the principal of the school and say, listen, is there any possibility, you know, he could be moved from the window, or can you close the window a little bit?
Last week, actually, that was when he went back to school. I don't like getting onto schools, but I had no choice. I did get onto the school. I emailed him firstly. I expressed my concern. I mean, my son's feet were numb, Niall, before Christmas. He couldn't even, he said he was so numb with the cold, his feet, he said he even found it hard to get up. When he was sitting down,
right.
He was just shaking with the cold, you know, even to write, as you said, my son was the exact same.
Yeah.
You know, it was terrible, and he didn't want to go to school, and he had extra layers. Now, he's a very slight lad, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it is probably worse when you're very, you know, petite in a way, you know, because you can feel the cold more.
Yeah.
And he had extra layers and everything, but the fact was he was near the window was wide open, the doors are opened as well as the windows, you know.
Yeah. And this, by the way, according to the Department of Education, this is unnecessary. The Department of Education, Norma Foley, states clearly that clear guidance is given to the school, which recommends windows be open before the class and at the end of class, but not during the class unless it's absolutely necessary.
It depends on the teacher, because not all teachers will do it. A lot of teachers, actually, to be fair, he said, especially now this week, like after getting on to the school, I had a fantastic chat with the principal of that school. It was my first time actually dealing with him because he's only in first year. And to be fair to that teacher, I asked for a temperature check of the room, and he got back to me on two separate days, and he has given me the temperature thereafter closing the windows. Now, there was only a tiny bit opened every so often.
And what was the temperature, by the way? What was the temperature?
It was 20 degrees.
Okay, well, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly acceptable.
So it's gone up, and he's been very, in fairness now, he's been very understanding. And I basically had said to him, I said, look, you do know the health and safety. I said, like, you are the principal of the school, and under no circumstances should anybody, teachers or students, be sitting under 16 degrees. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because as I said, I know what it's like when I come into the building here, for example, and sometimes then somebody will have turned it down to 19 because some people are warm creatures in this building.
That's
and
it.
We feel the cold, and we'll turn it back up again to 21, you know?
Yeah.
So 21 is a kind of standard operating temperature, I think, for most people in this country is around 21.
I mean, if it was in the Doyle, especially now, like the other side of it, I'd actually urge all the TVs to sit in the Doyle in the temperatures. The kids are sitting.
Yeah, it's some of them as low as 7 degrees, by the way. I'm looking here.
Why don't they assist? Like, a lot of schools are making the kids eat outside and with rain falling on top of them. I want the TVs to do the same for a month.
Yeah.
And see how they get on with it, because they don't seem to see this at all, like, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what do you say to
know?
The teachers that they say they're doing it in the best interest of the children to keep the, you know, the air filtrated and to keep the air fresh in the classroom and to keep the carbon dioxide levels lower? I don't think there's a huge amount of data around this as such. HEPA filters
around it. Every other country in the EU, like my husband is from Eastern Europe, and he's absolutely shocked at the conditions. Like, they have freezing conditions over. And to be honest, the windows are always closed in the winter. You wouldn't see that out anything. Jesus, out in North Korea, you wouldn't see it, you know?
It's not those type of temperatures.
It's another level in this country.
I don't think it's like North Korea now, with the greatest respect. But in saying that...
I mean, it's gone to another level.
No. And children, you know, they should be given, you know, the courtesy of having at least a reasonable temperature in the classroom that they can operate under. There's no...
And I mean,
otherwise, it's pointless.
Yeah. Do you know, the other side of it is like the grades as well. Like, I noticed it in my children, like their grades are gone back since the start of this. My older boy there, like his grades are gone back 2 grades because of the lockdowns, and his anxiety has gone through the roof, you know.
Okay, because he's missed so much school and because... Yeah, I know, it's very difficult.
Even to get them out now, even from these lockdowns, I find it's actually very hard to get the kids involved in things because their anxiety is so high. Mm-hmm. And you can see it, like, even my older boy, or my younger boy as well, he's 8, and, like, he has speech issues as well. And, you know, he's only just gone back to speech therapy in the last few weeks, which, thank God, we're delighted. But the other side of it is because he has speech issues and he has asthma, he's been segregated in his classroom because he can't wear a mask.
Okay.
He's sitting on his own every day. And I mean, the impact on that alone, long term, like...
So your child is going to speech therapy and he has asthma and he's only 8 years of age. So he's got an exemption against wearing a mask in school.
Yes.
And because of that, he's been segregated, you say?
He is. He sat alone every single day in school.
That's not right. That's not acceptable for
young
children. And I
went
to
the school about that and they were said, well, we're going by the guidelines. Sorry. He's an 8-year-old child. You know?
We were failing to understand certain things
this
in this country.
This isn't fair on the children.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
I'm surprised that they're, like, even I actually went into the school about the start of all this with, regarding his issues. And to be honest, I'm surprised there's not more parents talking up because they seem to be knowing, actually, they're going along with it and they're allowing the kids to be in these situations without not trying to talk up to the teachers and principals. I mean, to be honest, there should be more parents out and speaking up about this, you know?
Well, as I said, the Department of Education, the Department of Education rule is 16 degrees. And sure, I remember when I was a child, even when the radiators weren't working, we were sent home. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and by the way,
would.
That's the last thing we want, by the way, is kids to be sent home. We don't want that either. What we want, I think what most parents want is to be reasonable about this. And if it's cold, close the windows.
That's what I think. I can't. I actually set up a Facebook page actually the other night, Niall, because it really, I was thinking the way it's going on with the schools. A friend of mine actually, she took her kids out of school this week because her little girl actually, she's special needs as well. She's in another school. She came out of school. She was blue with the cold. She was blue.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable.
You know?
And I know children, I've seen numerous stories online over the weekend of parents talking about how damaging this is to their children, how cold they've been. And just stay there because I want to go to Lorraine as well because Lorraine, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Lorraine?
I'm good, thanks, now. How are you?
Good. Now, again, the same situation. You have a daughter. She's doing her leaving cert.
No, my granddaughter.
Oh, your granddaughter. I do apologise. Yeah. Sorry, granddaughter. She's doing the leaving cert.
Yeah.
And what was her experience?
No, well, she hasn't been to school, but she's been in contact with her friends in the class. And most of the classrooms at her school do not have windows, number one. Number two, those that do have windows, do you expect the teachers to come in early and go home late to open the rectored windows? I don't think so.
No. That's not going to happen.
And the reason why my granddaughter is not going to school is that her mother and herself have underlying health problems and she just doesn't want to catch COVID. And as you know, COVID is in the schools. And the schools aren't allowed to tell anybody when one of the pupils gets COVID. So it's really a ridiculous situation.
And when you say she has an underlying health condition, can I ask what's wrong?
She's got, it's a big word which I can't remember.
Okay.
And
she has her own personal concerns. That's fine. I understand that.
And her mother has got is suffering from cancer, so she...
Oh, okay.
She can't be vaccinated. And my granddaughter doesn't want to bring any COVID home to my daughter because.
And I get that, and I understand that. And what do you say to the parents who are complaining that, and they're saying that the classrooms are too cold because the windows are open?
Well, it's true. I mean, they're going to get sick anyway.
Yeah.
The kids. And then the kids won't be going to school.
Yeah.
So why don't they all stay at home and do the lessons like they were before via the internet?
But you can't keep closing the schools, Lorraine.
Well, you can.
No, you can't. You can't deprive children of an education. I mean,
I'm not depriving them of education because my granddaughter did very well.
But that's fine for your granddaughter. And many children, you're right, many children do well with remote learning. But many children don't do well with remote learning. They do much better when they're in the classroom. So you can't keep closing the schools. That's not the answer.
Well, what is the answer?
Well, there isn't an answer. The only answer is I suppose the argument when we come to say children is living with COVID. In other words, we have to accept that there is a risk, but it's a small risk, a very small risk. Thankfully, this Omicron variant is not as dangerous as previous variants we've had before. And for children in particular, the risk is very low. So we have to accept that the risk is low, and we have to accept children need an education. Is that not a fair synopsis?
I don't accept the risk is very low for children. My granddaughter is 18 years old. I don't accept the risk, that the risk is very low.
Well, unfortunately, Lorraine, that's the facts. The scientific facts are the risk is very low for children. That's the fact.
I don't believe that at all.
Well, it's up to you whether you want to believe it or not, but that's, you know, the risk. I mean, in this country, for example, in Ireland, a population of 5 million people, I mean, children are not dying of COVID-19.
That doesn't matter. The kids.
That doesn't matter.
The kids are still getting the COVID and they're taking it home to their families.
But that's up then, obviously, to a family then to make personal arrangements in each individual case, as your granddaughter has done in her case. And that's fair enough. And I understand that, because there's a high risk to somebody in the house who has cancer. But you can't punish every child and close every school because of that personal situation.
Look, I'm damn sure that situation is not unique to my granddaughter and my daughter.
Absolutely. But if there is other people in that situation, they should be allowed to remote learn from at home if they have a personal situation.
That's it. Now you've got it.
But I'm sure the schools would arrange that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, we've two tried. Options. We leave them in cold classes or we close the schools. And, you know, I think both of those options are a Hobson's choice. I think the only option is that we continue to teach children as we did before COVID-19 came along. And those children who believe they're in a high-risk category, like your granddaughter, should be allowed to remote learn.
They should be, but they're not.
Well, that's something you need to take up with the principal of your granddaughter's school, because she needs an education.
Well, that's right. And she's doing Leaving Cert this year, so it's critical.
Just in relation to that, Gillian, just listening to Lorraine's situation there, that's a difficult situation, and I understand that.
It is,
you know, her mum has cancer and she doesn't want to bring COVID home to her, and I get that.
There should be something like the Minister of Education. I'm sure that there would be other parents in similar situations, and they need to group up and get together, and they should be definitely remote learning in place without doubt, you know, for those situations. Every child under our constitution is entitled to an education, and under the circumstances, for people that are vulnerable, they should have the option of remote learning. And those kids that can go to school, let them go to school. Like, my kids all had COVID a few weeks ago, and being honest, it was the mildest illness we have ever had, and we're all asthmatics, you know.
Yeah.
And the kids, in fairness, it was very mild, being honest, a few, maybe 2 days, and it was all over us, you know.
Mm-hmm. I understand Lorraine's concerns, but I don't understand is, I know she doesn't believe it, but I mean, COVID-19 is not a big risk to children. Thankfully.
Not for children, no, it's not. But that's
the scientific fact.
Too, you know, it is fact. And like any child I know, and even as I said, my four had COVID, and two of them only had a runny nose, and my eldest, who always gets sick in our house, as I said, but like he had a temperature for 2 days. He vomited one night, and he was wrecking my head for the following 2 weeks, to be quite honest.
When have we ever known a child to go through a year without getting coughs, colds, temperatures?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, every year before this, we used to get the vomiting bugs two or three times.
Oh, yes. I remember them well when my children were younger.
Oh,
I remember it well.
Oh, my God, they're gone.
I remember when my three children at one stage going through the vomiting bug, and it went through me, my ex-wife, my three children, all in the space of about 4 or 5 weeks. It was just permanent vomiting all over the house.
Yeah, that's just
terrible, terrible.
You know, I think there's something, as well, like I would think that they need to start encouraging people to be taking vitamin D spray, like all
absolutely.
My children know on vitamin D. And I actually found one of the lads, he's smelling taste wins, and I gave him zinc and his smell came back very fast.
Okay, by the way, you've raised a very valid point. We're talking about vaccines, and yes, we should be talking about that. We're talking about prevention, absolutely. But what you've raised is something that we're not discussing. We should be talking about why they're held, because the healthier you are, the better your immune system is, of course.
Definitely.
And we should be encouraging people to take vitamins, people who feel a bit run down, people who are not maybe eating the right food, particularly with children, encouraging them to take. I remember when I was a young fella, I don't know if anybody else remembers this, But we don't do this anymore. But my mother used to give me, I think it was called halibut orange.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
yeah.
remember that? It was a little yeah. Yellow kind of sweet-tasting tablet.
Yeah.
And we used to give it to all kids every single day. Lorraine, do you remember that?
I remember that, and I also remember malt with cod liver oil.
Yeah, I remember that, too. Yeah. I remember when I was sick, my father used to have this stuff. I think it was called fennel. My God, it was disgusting. He used to threaten us with it. Are you sure you're sick? No, I'm fine. I'm fine, I swear. Please don't give me any fennel. I'm fine. Listen, thank you very much, Lorraine. Lorraine, I hope your daughter gets well soon, by the way. I do.
Thank you,
wish her well. All right. And I hope you can get some sort of resolve there between your granddaughter and the school. Gillian, thank you very much indeed. And I hope everything gets sorted out for you. But getting back to the classrooms, by the way. Let me know what you think. Maybe you've been in that situation. Maybe your children are coming home freezing cold. Have you spoke to the teacher? Or maybe you're one of those people who believe that, oh no, we should open the windows. It doesn't matter how cold the children are. I've seen that over the weekend, by the way, and online. People saying it doesn't matter. Let them freeze. As long as we don't have COVID, sure, it doesn't matter. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. I want to know what your experience has been. Now, we do have one or two messages here, by the way. I'm looking on. There we go. I'll play one of them now anyway. Just give you a little hands on.
All common sense seems to be gone out the window in schools with this COVID thing. My son's in secondary school in County Meath, and as part of their uniform, they have a jacket. It's a lovely jacket. It's an expensive jacket now, but it's a lovely jacket. It's 100% waterproof. Really, really warm jacket. So here's where the common sense has gone out the window. All the rooms are all windows and doors open. It's absolutely freezing inside the rooms. But lo and behold, the teachers will not allow them to wear the school jackets indoors. Don't figure that one out. Thanks, Noel.
Yeah, I really can't figure that one out because there is no answer to that and it's pathetically stupid, I'll be honest with you. If it's cold in the classroom, the teachers have two options. You let them wear their jackets or coats or you close the windows.
Hi, Niall. I can't actually come on at the moment. But, my daughter and my son, their school, they wear the school jacket, which isn't really that heavy. And for the life of me, they just won't allow them to wear their own proper winter woolly coats because they've perfectly nice warm coats at home. And they're not allowed to wear them. And I just think, given special circumstances, I think they should be allowed. For the life of me, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I really don't. And I'm telling you, I said to my child, you can wear your coat if you want, and if they send you home, so be it. Because I think it's really, really unfair. How do they expect him to sit in class and actually concentrate? It's outrageous. It really is outrageous.
Yeah, well, you are right. If it is cold in the classroom and they're not willing to close the windows, well, then they should be letting them wear their jackets. There's no sense in that whatsoever. The number is 087-188-0008, or as the previous messenger there said, all logic has gone out the window these days. The number 087-188-0008. What has your experience been with the windows open in the classrooms? Particularly on Friday, it was freezing. Some people suggesting that schools are a special case because I work in an office now with an awful lot of people. We don't have the windows open. We don't have a HEPA filter. We just get on with it. Another person says HEPA filters have no effect. My kids are icy cold in school, but yet don't see every house with the windows open and heating on all day. Why are our kids suffering, says Oisín. Pardon me. Another person says, hi now, what's going on in the schools? Madness. Although a simple solution until sense returns is long johns and long sleeve thermal vests under the uniform. Let me go to Mantis. Mantis, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Mantis?
How you doing, Niall? Yeah, thanks for bringing this topic actually on, because recently we were talking here in the family about same nonsense, complete nonsense. Like last week, my third class daughter, she's in third class, came back freezing.
So how old is she? Third class, she'd be what, about six, seven?
Nine.
Oh, nine years of age. Okay, sorry. And yeah, she was absolutely freezing cold, yeah?
Correct, yeah, and It's just I don't get it. So that means what, like we need to open windows everywhere then? Why is school targeted? You know, it's more places to need to be ventilated, like, you know, pharmacies, shopping centers, everywhere. So like we need to walk, like everywhere, like.
I suppose the argument they would make is because of the school environment, and you've got so many children in one small room with a teacher. You know, for the safety of the teacher and the students, they're saying they have to open the windows.
But is it not proof? Like, what, like as you mentioned as well, like with kids, it's basically
very little not, risk. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And like you know, like same time I'm delivering here in Dublin every day, driving around Dublin, and last Friday in Cardiff at the pub, you can see people, you know, having a good day, you know, and no mask, no nothing. So here you're having a kid attacked, like for some reason, I don't know why.
Okay. And did you do, okay, so when your daughter came home and she was freezing cold in school and she told you she was freezing cold, did you contact the principal of the school?
No, I didn't, actually. I didn't, and now better got better, but I think we will. I need to talk because, you know, going to school with the three jackets and thanks God, like, I in our school, teacher allows you to wear a jacket. And
okay, well, at least that's something, because some of the schools are not allowing them to do that.
Correct, yeah, and as previous lady mentioned, like, you know, how you can concentrate to do something when you're crazy freezing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, when you're very cold, and I know even here in the building here, for example, when you're very warm or very cold, if somebody has set the air conditioning slightly differently, if I come in the next day, you know, it can be very difficult to concentrate when it's too warm or too cold.
Well, that's for adults, like, I mean, you know, so, and we're talking about, like, 6, 7, 8...
7 degrees, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I mean, we do have a rule in this country by the Department of Education. When it goes below 16 degrees, children should not be in school. They should be sent home. In the classroom, that is. So if the heating is not working. And here we are just accepting this.
Yeah, and same time, yeah, we're letting them to sit at 6, 7 degrees in the class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Close the window. The new hashtag, close the window. That's it.
Okay, close the windows. All right, thank you for that, Mantis. And I hope your daughter doesn't come home too cold in future. And if she does, I suggest that people contact the principal of the school and find out why. I think it's Bryony, is it? Bryony?
Yeah, hi Neil, how are you?
How are you doing, Bryony?
I have a Niall at my work who pronounces it Neil, so I'm totally confused over the name. Apologies.
That's okay, I'm used to it. Okay, so Bryony, I mean, what's the story with the children your school are in?
My son is 11, he's in fifth class here in Bray, and I have to just say they've been an amazing school throughout the COVID, you know, pandemic.
Yep.
With online teaching and everything, and since they've been back, obviously the, you know, temperatures are colder,
yep.
But they've encouraged the boys to wear just their tracksuit rather than their uniform because it's easier to wash.
Yep.
And it's warmer, obviously, with the tracksuit jumper.
Yep.
And they've also said, look, wear whatever layers you need under, boys. If you have an extra top, if it's not a school top, it doesn't matter. Just stay warmer and whatever you need to do. They also came out with a brand, you know, a fleece jacket for the uniform as an addition, so they can wear that.
Okay, that's
over
good.
Their tracksuit, so they're
okay.
Extra warm, you know.
Okay, and so has it been cold in the class whereby they'd have to wear this kind of stuff? Yeah.
Well, my son isn't wearing it, like, so
yeah.
He's a warm creature, though, so he's a bit of an exception.
Yeah,
he's
see. I wouldn't be like your son. I'm a cold creature.
he's the kind of one who, when he was 3 years old, going out in the snow in his underpants and wellies, you know, like, it doesn't feel cold. But
yeah.
He's fine, but I think he says about half of the boys have the fleece and would wear it.
Yeah.
If they're feeling a bit cold, they get them to do jumping jacks and, you know, run about a lot. Like, I mean, obviously they're boys, they're active, they need a bit of running around anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, the school has just been brilliant and they keep the parents informed. They take on board, you know, suggestions from the parents.
That's great.
And I think that's the difference, is some schools are not being proactive. They're not listening to the parents.
I mean, I'm looking at some of the stuff, you know, online over the weekend of parents sending in pictures of the, you know, the carbon fiber meters that are in the class, right? And it's 6 and 7 degrees. And I'm going, how can a child, you know, who's not allowed to wear anything over their uniform, for example, how can a child be expected to operate in those kind of conditions? You just can't.
No, you can't. If you're too cold, you can't be concentrating. You're not going to learn well. So I think, as I say, obviously they need the air circulating. And fresh air is good. And I don't think being overly warm is good either. You know, stuffy, warm classrooms is what I remember from school. And that didn't help. But I think, as I say, just parents need to club together and come up with suggestions and actually kind of say to the school, we're not taking this as a group. And, you know, we want to be able to help the teachers so that they have an easier time of teaching, you know.
Yeah, I mean, protecting children against COVID is one thing, but you don't equally want your child freezing cold and end up in pneumonia.
No, so. I think you have to have a happy balance in a lot of things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's But the schools and parents have to work together to try and get the best solutions in place.
But you've made a really good point. And, you know, going back to last year when the schools were closed, some schools were brilliant at the remote learning. Other schools failed miserably. And sadly, there was children, I suppose, you know, depending on the types of schools they were at, who suffered very badly. Their education suffered because of that. You know?
Yeah, and again, my son's school, I have to give name them, St. Cronin's and Bray, they're absolutely amazing school. My son has autism.
Yeah.
So he, like, the school obviously went online. They had the whole class with the main teacher and an SNA on every day for an hour. He couldn't cope with that. So they took his learning resource teacher, came on after about 15 minutes, took him out one-to-one 5 days a week for an hour.
That's excellent.
And they lent us a laptop because we didn't have enough laptops to go around because I have a teenager as well. So, you know, and they were just amazing. So unfortunately, some schools have fewer resources and other schools are just not listening or thinking.
And see what you're talking about? That my daughter experienced the same thing in her school, which was great, okay?
Yeah.
And that was brilliant, this kind of one-to-one stuff or actually being on Zoom and seeing the teacher and the teacher reprimanding them. I've seen it, reprimanding them over Zoom, et cetera, et cetera. But there was other schools where literally the teacher would throw up a few things on a jigsaw, whatever they call the software they were using, in the morning and say, do that for the day and that'll be the last that hear of the teacher.
Yeah.
And that was happening too. So it depends on the school, it depends on the teachers, you know, it all depends on them. So unfortunately, it's not the ideal situation to have the schools closed because...
No, absolutely agree. I mean, my son really grasped with it being, you know, socially. So I'm totally on board with the schools need to be open. The few children who can't attend should be supported 100%. And those who are, you know, the parents need to kind of group together. We have parents' associations. They need to speak to the schools and try and get them talking and coming up with solutions. The students have a lot of power as well. As I say, my daughter is 14 and she was on the student council last year. They come up with brilliant ideas for the teenagers and they actually worked with the teachers and with the school themselves. I'm coming up with solutions for their school, which is an old school, so it's not particularly warm either. It's an old building that's been done up.
Well,
so,
that's part of the problem, you know, too. A lot of the schools in Ireland are quite old.
Yeah.
And they don't have the equipment they should have, and I'm aware of that as well. I know the schools are looking for these HEPA filters. I don't know if the HEPA filters are going to make that much of a difference, that they won't be able to keep the windows closed all the time either. So I don't think they're... I mean, I've looked at different research around HEPA filters, and there's mixed research as to whether or how efficient they can actually be in these situations. But I think leaving the windows open full when it's 0 degrees outside is not the answer.
No, I agree. It's, you know, let the air circulate and get the kids warmer and get them thinking. Also, obviously, some kids can't be vaccinated. Some people don't want to vaccinate their kids.
That's their choice.
My son got his on Saturday and he was thrilled to get it. And that was his decision as well. Both my kids decided themselves, you know, obviously with my support. But he's just, no, if I can keep other people safer, you know, that was his decision, his thinking on it, and he's grand, you know, and none of us have been sick, and as I say, my kids don't tend to get cold or sick, so I'm lucky in that regard, and I know not everyone is as fortunate, but you know, we have to try and work together and support
I think primarily with children, thankfully, you know, there hasn't been a bad result for COVID when it comes to children. It hasn't been a huge risk to children, thank God, you know, more so to older people and more vulnerable people. Look, it is a dangerous virus to get, particularly if you're in a vulnerable situation. But when it comes to children, I think the data is quite clear. It's not of great danger to them. So I think I know what most people are concerned about is, you know, if they have a vulnerable member in the household and they bring it home to somebody else, I think that's probably the bigger concern for most people. But in relation to the vaccines, as you know, they are available from children up to the age or from five upwards. And, you know, some people like yourself have decided to let your children make the decision to get the vaccine, and that's your choice as a parent as well. But there are other parents, I suppose, have made different choices. And I think I respect everybody's view on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, both my kids, their dad is over 60 and has diabetes. So they were quite, and my parents are in their 70s, you know, so my kids are very conscious that we have vulnerable people in our lives. So we want to try and we're healthy. So, you know, it's not going to hurt us to get the vaccine and then we can keep other people safer. That was their thinking on it. So,
okay, well, look, Bryony, thank you very much indeed. And thank you by your school, St. Cronin's. Well done to them too for doing a good job
and
listening to the parents, which is important. Yeah. Thank you very much. All right, by the way, is your school listening? Because some schools, it seems, are listening, but some schools are not listening and they're not cooperating because parents are texting us in saying their children are freezing, they're coming home with their hands blue, even worse conditions where children are ended up in hospital because they're so cold with borderline hypothermia. But let me know what you think and what has been done in your school. Are the windows open all day? I heard you all, somebody mentioned there, we should start a campaign. Hashtag close the windows.
Hi, Niall. I agree it's ridiculous having all the windows open in school all the time in the very cold weather, but I don't understand why people just can't get their children to wear warm layers under their school shirt, because that would actually keep you warmer than a big awkward coat. So, like, get them to wear a couple of long sleeve tops or the skins, like the Under Armour skins or whatever, under your school shirt. In my son's school, as long as the school jumper is the top layer, that's all that matters. So I think that wearing a big bulky coat on top could be kind of awkward. So it would just be easier to wear smaller, thinner layers under the shirt. It keeps you warmer. It's simple. No need for complaining. Thanks.
Yeah, that's, yeah, provided they let them wear things like that. And by the way, that depends again on the temperature. If it's, say, yeah, I, you know, reasonably cold, if it's kind of like 15 or 16 degrees, that will probably do the job all right. But if it's down to 6 or 7 degrees, I think you'll need a lot more than that. I think it's because their hands would be freezing at 6 or 7 degrees in a classroom. But I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And, you know, again, talking to the principal of the school and coming to some sort of arrangement that's happy for everyone, keeps everybody happy. Let me go to Tina. Tina, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Tina?
Hi, Niall.
Good, Tina. Now, you've got two kids, 8 and 11 years of age.
I have two kids. Can I mention our school? Because
yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's in Corduff.
Okay.
Now, my oldest fella's in fifth class, and there was no teachers last week, so he had to be homeschooled last week. The other fella's in the junior side, and he was in. But we got a letter last night saying that the school was very cold on Friday and that the school doesn't mind. No one has to wear a uniform. They can wear anything they want as long as they're warm, and they can even bring in blankets.
Okay, that's really good. But the one thing I will say, should we be at that point where we're doing that? And that's, by the way, it's wonderful the school to do that. I know there was another school on Friday, I seen the Irish Mirror there, sent all the children home because it was below the 16 degrees. It was only 13 degrees or something like that. So, and I get all that, right? And well done to your school, by the way, for you know, letting kids yeah. bring whatever they want in. But should we be at a point where the schools are so cold that we have to tell children to do that, to bring blankets to school?
No.
And I'm not blaming the school for that, by the way. I'm up, you know.
Yeah, I totally understand that. But the thing is, the kids are missing out on so much education at the moment. And our school is trying its hardest to make sure that the kids come in. Now, we got a text saying, if you think your kids are too small, you can take them out to school. Like, they're trying, they're doing every single thing possible. It's absolutely amazing what they're doing, I think. It's dreadful that they might have to bring a blanket in, but unfortunately, yeah. that's the way it is.
But could we not just go to the back to the point where, you know, we were at last year when the schools are open and just say, close the windows?
Yeah, I suppose, but they have to go by the guidelines. So, I mean, if they're just trying their best with what they're being given.
Yeah. I mean, the guidelines, according to the Minister for Education, she said clear guidance has been given to schools around ventilation, which recommends windows be opened before class and at the end of class, but not during the class. Now, if they have to open partially, I suppose they can do that. But that's what the Minister says.
Okay.
But yet I'm hearing reports from parents who are telling me that the windows are open all day and the classrooms are freezing.
Now, I know my youngest lad, his windows aren't open, but the door is open. Yeah. So they're probably ventilating that way. But I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I know your school has been very cooperative. And,
very,
you know,
cooperative.
Yeah, and that's good that they're allowed to that. But I'm getting parents who are contacted saying the class is freezing and the teachers won't let them wear their jackets and won't let them wear anything on top, and they're actually coming home with their hands blue. That's not acceptable either, is it?
Absolutely not acceptable. That's why I had to come on and say how amazing I think our school is, that they are letting them.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
Do that. Yeah. You know, so I just wanted to say, heads up to St. Patrick's.
Okay, well done. And Cronin's earlier on, well done to them. And it's great to hear that some schools are very, very cooperative. Unfortunately, I wish all the schools were as cooperative as that,
yeah.
as those two. Tina, thanks. How's your kids, by the way? How are they handling the whole thing, by the way, at 8 and 11 years of age?
Well, they both actually got COVID on the 17th of November.
Right.
And we were in the house and I didn't get it. So okay. I kind of thought I was invincible.
Okay.
And then I actually came down with it on Christmas Day.
Oh, right. Okay, delayed reaction.
So we've had two lockdowns. So, yeah, we're back to normal now, I hope.
Yeah. And how did they get on during the remote learning last year? And hopefully not again, but last year, how did they get on during that?
Oh, the school was amazing. It was constant Zoom calls, but it was fun. We had fitness classes. We had pizza cooking classes.
Yeah.
They did so much for us. I just couldn't say enough good about them.
Okay, well, that's great. It's great to hear that some schools have been better than others when it comes to that. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Tina. Appreciate it. All right, there you go. The good with the bad today. Tina had a good experience at her school. Bryony had a good experience at her school too. But other people haven't had quite the same experience that you heard earlier on as well, whereas they felt the glasses were too cold and they weren't allowed to wear jackets or they weren't allowed to wear anything and they were freezing. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. I mean, look, yes, protect children from COVID, but we don't want children ended up with their death of cold and pneumonia as well because it's freezing cold in the class, or not being able to concentrate and educate them properly because they're too cold.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.